Today's spotlight features Zaniwe Asani. Zaniwe is a prominent figure in Africa's tech industry, making waves in Africa as the vice president and head of public policy for Yango. With a deep understanding of the continent's regulatory landscape and a passion for driving inclusive growth, Zaniwe is a sought-after expert in the field of technology and public policy. Zaniwe, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Zaniwe, your career trajectory has been quite impressive, from Tech Women alumni to your current role at Yango. What were the key experiences or influences that shaped your path into tech and public policy?
So thank you so much for asking me that. And I think it's so important to phrase it the way you phrased it, mainly the influence part. We can really take it back all the way back to perhaps my primary school and high school days. Mm-hmm. I went to Ogle School, something that I am forever grateful to my parents for. In this environment, this Ogle School environment, there was really nothing that girls, women could not do. And females that were doing amazing things that were always pushing us to do amazing things. And if I look back at my high school days, I mean, I did computer application technology. So it was, you know, normal, natural, nothing out of the ordinary for me. And perhaps, you know, you could call me sort of a tech nomad. It was tech in nature. Yeah. But if I go back, I think that was really a fundamental push. So obviously that's very, very, in the early stages of my life. But going forward, I went and I pursued an LLB. And I suppose in there, when I was doing my postgrad, the question was, what was I going to do? Mm-hmm. To be 100% honest, my first option was space and satellite law, which still falls, I suppose, within the same area, within the space. Same space, but I had a really good relationship with my undergrad lecturer, and she said to me, look, the next best thing is this ICT law. Mm-hmm. And I got into that, fell in love with it, fell in love with cybersecurity, data protection, information, media, access to it, and basically all the aspects around the intersection between technology and regulation. So that for me really was sort of that pinnacle space. And through that, it opened a door of so many opportunities, amazing mentors, people doing amazing things. So build up on that, started working. And that's where the Tech Woman came in.
Yeah.
Which was just another experience. San Francisco, Silicon Valley, being at the U.S. State Department, doing all sorts of things. We spent time at Twitter, X, before it was X, you know. So yeah. 2 weeks before X became X, we were there, we were training there, understanding the ins and outs, you know. So it's just that exposure showing you how topical technology is and what type of doors and opportunities it can open for you.
For you, exactly. You know, talking about your early years, can you tell us more about that, you know, in the tech industry, and how your journey as a Tech Women alumni influenced your career?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, it was... there was a lot of self-doubt, to be honest. And I think anybody that knows me will tell you that doesn't suit my character. I'm not the person that doubts myself too much. But when it came to the tech space specifically, you get out of this environment, like I said, all girls school, you can do everything. And the world keeps on telling you, oh, women are not in STEM. Women are not doing this. And you're like, oh, wait, I'm a woman. And I
can do it.
This.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, should I be not doing this? Is there something wrong with doing this? What are the challenges that all these women are facing?
Yeah.
And you get to learn this. You get to understand this. So at the point where I was, joining Tech Woman, I had finished sitting, or I was actually still sitting on the telecommunications regulators consumer advisory panel board in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And we got to understand what the barriers of women were. Including myself, I kind of saw myself in these women. Sometimes you don't know what your challenges are until you see your fellow woman struggle.
Yeah.
So it really was, you know, for instance, I can't lie and say I don't come from a background where I had access to, you know, certain resources that a large majority of Africans don't. Mm-hmm. But it's not just about that. It's not about the infrastructure and the access to it. It's about the attitudes of the people in the rooms with you. Mm-hmm. It's about even your age, about your race, about obviously your gender. Mm-hmm. So all those three things just or psychologically in the minds of some of those that were my decision makers, did not, grant me perfect access into the room. Mm-hmm. But tech women changed that for me forever.
Yeah.
Being part of this program was pivotal to me understanding that as a woman, you really need to open doors for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the program essentially is sponsored by the U.S. State Department. And what they do is they get all the women from the Fortune 500 and Silicon Valley companies who are in high-ranking positions to mentor 100 women from across the world. And seeing the sisterhood and seeing this, not just sister, not just pushing you because you're a woman, but mm-hmm. pushing you because you are deserving, you're yes. hardworking, your mm-hmm. credentials speak for you.
Yeah.
Was so eye-opening. And these are big boss women, boss ladies, decision makers. And they were also human. They yeah. were kind. They were guiding us. Yeah. So that for me, it showed me that, yes, there's perceptions around tech and STEM, but behind that, there's also women, there's people who are pushing for you. You just need to do your part
exactly.
and show up ready.
Exactly. Now, as Vice President and Head of Public Policy at Yango, what are the most significant challenges you face, when navigating Africa's regulatory landscape?
As Vice President, and I suppose being so involved in our markets in Africa, so at this point, I think we've got 14 and growing active markets. And these are 14 and growing active markets that we visit all the time. So you can imagine, meeting all these different people,
yeah.
understanding, trying to get into the nuances of the different locations.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I can say is we are really disrupting the space. It's a new space. And I say this because the regulation doesn't exist in most of the geographies. For instance, if we zoom into Namibia, in Namibia, yes, there are laws that look at ride at transportation of people, but it doesn't look at ride hailing in its nuance, in its actuality, what ride hailing is. And that just shows, the whole adage that they say technology develops faster than the laws. It's so real. So in this job of mine now, I see that, firsthand that the technology develops. It doesn't wait for the regulators.
Yeah,
it doesn't wait for the
government.
It doesn't wait for anybody to catch up. It happens.
Yeah.
So I think the most notable thing there would be seeing the space to create significant challenge, mitigate significant challenges in the lack of regulation, and assisting in making the governments catch up, working with them actually for accommodating rapid innovation. So, we don't just do ride hailing. We do a lot. We do fintech, education, lifestyle. We've got over 100 services. And once a country shows that it is ready and ripe, we bring that in, and that ultimately creates a better life for the users in that country.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Zaniwe, your role involves fostering collaboration between the public and private sectors. Can you share examples of how you have successfully facilitated these partnerships to drive technological advancement?
Absolutely. I think that's actually one of the most favorite parts of what I do. So for instance, we can actually intertwine this with the previous question you asked me about the regulatory landscape.
Yes.
Some of our partnerships have involved sitting down with the likes of regulators, let's say whether in the e-commerce space or the transportation space, and literally sitting down ourselves and other industry players and, drafting out the laws, bringing out best practices that we have not just seen but experienced over the years and throughout, the global markets, because we exist in six continents. We work in six continents.
Yeah.
But I think what has touched my heart the most is our partnership, our PPP with the Ministry of Employment in Cote d'Ivoire, specifically looking at sensitizing drivers on Social Security, why they should actually be signing up,
mm-hmm.
what the benefits are for their families,
yeah.
and working alongside the government to help, specific days to sign them up. So that just shows the level of commitment that we have for people, but it also shows the numbers. We've got a significant amount of drivers, and we see this as, drivers that choose the app. we don't have drivers, but we see this as an opportunity to do our bit, to disseminate knowledge, to work with the government. Mm-hmm. I think another one would be where we worked with the Ministry of Youth to connect young people that had received vehicles from the presidency in Zambia to get job opportunities basically within the younger ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we're working with the Ministry of Youth in Zambia. We are finalizing an MOU in Cote d'Ivoire with one of the biggest metropolitan metros there, a metropolitan municipalities rather. So those for me are, you know, triple P's that they don't just give us, you know, a good name, but we actually see people develop. We see promotion of entrepreneurship. We see the driving of economic inclusion. We see the people around us becoming better purely because we happen to be in the same space with them.
Yeah, exactly. Now, as a member of the African Leadership Network Women's Youth Chair, how do you integrate your leadership role in fostering youth engagement in Africa's tech industry?
I'm quite certain that when we go to the AU and we have our sessions, they want to kick me out of all the tech that I that I'm always pushing down their throat. But they've become a family now. But if I look specifically at the at OLEN, the African Leadership Network for women, really and truly, that has expanded the reach that I've had to influence women around the continent and even around the world, because mm-hmm. you've got women sitting all over who open the door for you. But what that has done is one highlighted, like I said to you, when I went to this all-girls school, it was exceptionally enabling. But you can't come from a perfect bubble environment and not really understand the situations on the ground and call yourself a leader.
Mm-hmm.
So that has given a lot of data and information, really scientific, data-driven information on what the core issues are on the ground. And through this mentorship and understanding from Aulan, I've had the sort of capacity building through those sessions to also give access and mentorship to others in the tech industry. So if I look at the portfolio that we have as Yango for women's development, which is one of our core, you know, external programs
mm-hmm.
That we look at, we've seen that, you know, not myself only, but a lot of the women even within Yango understand this. But there's a big push from women. I mean, we've got so much to sort of cultivate and learn from OLEN. I mean, if I were to be 100% honest, there's a lot of things that we literally take the programs that we've seen mm-hmm. and we can disseminate them through the Yango ecosystem, who are very open open and willing to learn and support these type of initiatives.
Yeah.
But I think if I were to sum it up, really, it's connecting young professionals with seasoned leaders. Mm-hmm. So we see that and we try and mimic and imitate that ourselves and expose young women to the technology ecosystem.
Now, Zaniwe, as a woman leading in both technology and public policy, what do you think are the critical steps needed to increase the participation of women in Africa's tech ecosystem?
If we start with the head of a human being, the brain, it's really about telling young girls before they even become women, then they can. Mm. Actually, if we can get to a space where you don't even need to tell them they can, give them the opportunities, put the tasks in front of them,
yeah,
the same way you would with any other person that you believe is capable,
mm-hmm.
do that.
Yeah,
right? And I'm speaking about like the full spectrum of women, differently mm-hmm. abled women, women mm-hmm. who have gone through trauma, women who would seemingly be, you know, seen as picture perfect A-type, all the women,
mm-hmm.
all the young girls, give them that opportunity when we start with the head, when we start with the heart compassion, because in order for the next generation to treat the, or rather for the current generation to treat the next generation, someone should have been kind to their heart.
Mm.
So compassion, empathy, and having the ability to do that. And then in terms of to be kind, to be the person that you needed to be when, you know, you were younger. And with hands, it's really about getting your hands dirty. When opportunities come, grab them. If they don't come, fight for them. If you see someone younger not being given the opportunity, especially as a woman, fight for that woman.
Yeah.
So it's really, I think, those two aspects. But if we were to be more formal about it, it's really creating more STEM opportunities for girls at a young age and ensuring that there's access to women leadership development programs so that they can also pave the way properly for the next generation to come in for themselves, and just this environment that is enabling and fostering just, you know, a thriving field of critical thinkers, and just policy application at all levels, whether it's within private sector, government, a combination of those, just ensuring that when we speak about STEM and adoption of women into women's lives and career paths, we're also flexible and we're looking at the nuances of women specifically. What do they need to ensure that they thrive in these environments?
Yeah. And then what advice would you give to aspiring young African women who want to break into the tech and policy fields?
Mine would be pursue your passions.
Yeah.
And be flexible with your passions. You know, be big picture thinking. I think when it comes to technology, there's so many intersections. There's, you know, you want to be a singer, there's a aspect of technology into it that still hasn't been tapped into. You know, so much is untapped that you can find an opportunity for yourself with whatever intersection. You know, it's a rapidly evolving space, and we need diverse voices to shape its future. We need people that are playing diverse roles to ensure that there's representation, but also that, you know, African women are filling up these spaces. My advice would be passionate, seek the mentors, and be teachable. You know, have a teachable spirit. Don't know it all. You'll get there. And really build a network of supportive people. That will be your biggest asset in the future for any challenge that you'll face ahead or any opportunity that you want to grab.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that was Zanyiwe Asari, the Vice President and Head of Public Policy at Yango. Zanyiwe, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.